Welcome back to S&P Now. This is episode 63 for September 9th. Josh, who's sponsoring us today?
This week's episode is brought to you by Julie Zook with Silver Legacy Realty. It's a great time to sell your house because inventory is low. Julie Zook with Silver Legacy Realty is a lifelong resident of the Silver Valley. She is a local realtor who is well-connected and knows every nook and cranny of our beautiful community. Contact Julie at 208-659-1764. She is your best friend in real estate.
All right. Julie coming in hot. This is the title sponsor.
Yep. Yes, she is. Always coming in hot.
That's right.
We love Julie.
We do. We love Julie. Josh, what's going on?
Oh, we are, I dare say, back into a weird normal place.
Yes.
We've got schools going. We've got some more schools starting. Mm-hmm. We've got sports again. COVID numbers seem to be
going down,
moving the right direction.
We're finally catching up with our other Idaho brethren, sister counties,
fellow
neighboring counties. Yeah.
The rest of the Panhandle Five.
Yes. There we go. Yes. That while everybody has been trending down for weeks now, we are finally, now that being said, we just did have Labor Day weekend. So
yeah. Talk to us in 10 days.
Yeah, come talk to us in probably 10 to 14 days. We might have another spike. But yeah. General numbers are going down, it seems like, which is good. Deaths are at an all-time low. Things are turning around.
Deaths are at a low. People are calming down.
COVID deaths, rather.
Not so many Karens.
Not so many Karens, no.
Karen population is decreasing. They're going back into their Karen shells.
I'll be happy when my gym opens back up.
Oh yeah.
I have the membership to the only gym in the valley that is currently not open. So
I mean, it is affiliated with the hospital.
If totally anyone was going to be cautious,
it's going to be them.
I get it. They have more pressure than anyone to remain cautious, and they do have a lot of old folks going there through there, which I 100%, you've heard me say it about 1,000 times. They're the most at risk. They're the ones that we need to protect. I get it, but there are things that we can do.
Yeah.
There are things that can be done. So maybe somebody's listening.
Maybe.
We might have like one or two people that listen to this podcast. So
that's it. Just a couple.
One or 200.
One or 2 million.
Oh, God. That's, million would be nice.
Million.
If you didn't, viewers who didn't catch that, that was a Austin Powers reference.
Dr. Evil. Yes.
All right. Time for some local headlines, huh?
Well, we got, what, Friday, September 4th.
We do have Friday, September 4th.
That was a busy day for me.
You're all over the front page.
You were like dying. You were not feeling well that day.
I was not doing well.
Headline, local schools off to a good start. So I talked to the new superintendent of the Wallace School District, Todd Howard. We'll talk more about him in a little bit.
We've got experience with Todd.
Yeah. And then also the Mullen Junior Senior High School principal, Don Kochevar, to just kind of find out how school started with all the reopening and everything that's been going on. It really was kind of a mystery how schools would reopen. You didn't know if you were going to see a lot of kids not show up. Like, I mean, those schools like probe to see who was going to be there and who wasn't, but you know, until it actually gets there, there's no real, you don't really know for sure. But both schools said their first few days went really well. Todd Howard actually threw out a couple jokes. I think he said the worst thing that happened was, some kids got their A and B day mixed up. So some B day guys showed up on A day type things,
sure,
and they had to send them home. And so that was probably the worst thing there. Todd also discussed how there's a few things that they kind of, not that they didn't think about, but some things that happened within some things that they'll need to address.
It's the first time I've ever done this. Like,
right.
There's going to be kinks you need to work out.
Some transportation issues and things like that. But he's pretty confident they're going to get them all ironed out. We will talk here this week with the Kellogg School District to see how their first day back goes. Their first day is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're listening to this the next day. So it should be interesting to see. They have about the double the amount of kids.
Right. That and these their two plan districts is, combined. As we've mentioned before, a lot more intensive.
A little bit more in depth because of the fact that they have so many kids from so many different communities in mm-hmm. multiple facilities yep. all across the western portion of the county.
Yeah, a little bit more to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit more of a headache. So everything's good to start off on the east end, though. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge positive. Sure. I think most of the schools should be pretty happy with the way things are going. And I think schools are going to... you know, barring some sort of spike, horrible outbreak, it would surprise me.
Maybe that's a question that some of our listeners would like to know about. Is there any sort of testing going on at any of the schools?
I don't know for sure if there's testing.
Okay.
I haven't even thought to ask the principals or superintendents that.
Okay.
More or less just out of sight, out of mind thought. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. None of the schools necessarily put in their plans that they were going to be doing any testing themselves.
Gotcha. So, like, it's not like, you know, if this kid's symptomatic, they automatically get tested.
The schools are not operating as independent organizations here. Gotcha. If there was to be a health concern, they would be sent to
sure, just clinic. Like how if they were normally sick, like if right. they're sick, you send them home, and right. then that's their responsibility to go get tested.
Yeah, unlike like colleges, major sports leagues, things right. like that, they're not independently testing. But you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see schools actually make a move towards that, especially bigger ones. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we would ever see that here with our schools being on the smaller end of the spectrum, but I would not be surprised to see it over in some of the bigger schools.
Okay.
So.
But overall, doing well?
Overall, man.
Schools, no hiccups?
Schools are going great. If we can continue on the route that we're going, mm-hmm. I don't see us having to shut schools down again. I know some pundits out there seem to think otherwise, but...
I know what we heard, what was it, about a month ago that we're supposed to have a spike here soon.
When flu season picks up.
Mm. But that's the flu, right?
I mean, if the flu and the coronavirus hook up and
join,
create like a super virus, it okay. could be... I mean, the coronavirus is out there. I think everyone knows that. I think that
I'm not an epidemiologist, but I didn't know that was a thing. Like, I didn't, like...
We moved beyond the containment number.
Oh, we're way past that.
And now I think we're kind of existing in the, if we get to herd immunity, like we're waiting for either herd immunity or a vaccine.
Sure.
But that being said, kind of like with the nursing home situation, you know, if someone catches the flu sure. and they're really, really dealing with like a severe strain of it, and then the coronavirus comes in, mm-hmm. you take advantage of an already compromised system.
Right.
Between
the two of us, I mean, you and I, just in our personal lives, we've talked to a lot of people where we're getting conflicting reports on positive tests.
Yeah, I took that antibody test.
Yes.
That came back negative. But then I read, and I should have saved it, but I was just scrolling through Twitter, mindlessly mm-hmm. trolling through Twitter, and
right.
Saw where a lot of these bloodborne antibody tests are showing false results, mm-hmm. Like a high number of them. So,
well, and the tests themselves. I mean, even just the positive tests themselves. We've both come across people that have tested positive and then 2 days later tested negative. We've met people who, you know, tested positive and but no one that they've been around, like right. that should definitely have it, has tested negative. So either, you know, either the testing is up in the air, which is again not a secret. There's a disclaimer on the Panhandle Health District website that says like these tests are not 100% reliable. And even we've known, you know, depending on where the test comes from, we've known that there's been some discrepancies. So
I think because this is a make it up as we go kind of thing, mm-hmm. that we're going to have to live with the test not being accurate until we have more information.
Sure. Well, and then so what that comes down to is I mean the only way that we can handle this is that you just handle it on a case by case basis. If somebody's symptomatic, handle it.
Right.
You know, because at this point, it's kind of hard to, I mean, we're, like you just said, we're way past containment at this point. Like this there's no longer holding this back until it goes widespread. We're in fact, we're on the tail end of that. If, you know, if you look at like a bell curve, we're on the tail end of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hopefully it continues to go down until the point where it's negligible, you know, it, only the people that were hiding this entire time, they'd be the ones at risk or something like that. But yeah, that's, hopefully it's just going to keep going down. We'll see. We'll see. While you do that, I'm going to pull up, that website from Department of Health and Welfare.
Yeah. Center of the page?
Yeah, go for it.
Center of the page, headline, Youth is Served, which wasn't my headline. Someone changed my headline.
It happens. Yeah. Youth is served.
The
youths.
Yeah, the headline was Round Horse for the Win.
I see that was wrapped into the...
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I don't think I'd noticed that the headline had been changed. So this story coming out of the Pinehurst Golf Course. 16-year-old Archie Roundhorse won the Pinehurst Golf Course Club Championship this year. He's the youngest club champion in the history of the club, which goes back to like the 1940s, I believe.
Good for him.
Kind of a cool story. Archie is a local golfer who has been, I mean, he's been on a tear for some time, but if you're familiar with his family, his father, Hank Rauenhorst, was a club champion himself. His sister, Kat Rauenhorst, was a state champion golfer for Kellogg High School. Just a phenomenal golf lineage there. And, you know, it's kind of a cool story. Archie and Hank are the third father-son tandem to both be club champions.
Okay.
So they join I think the names were Stan and Jamie Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look. I don't want to get names wrong. But Stan and Jamie Edwards... and Mike and Sean Biote.
Okay.
Those are the two or the three pairs of father-son tandems. So the way it works, and just pardon me for trying to explain this. I'm learning the different types of golf scoring on the fly.
So you're going to have to get used to it. You're writing a lot of...
golf stories?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with our successful golf teams in the spring... You're gonna become quite the golf analyst here.
Golf
soon.
Is a year-round activity here in the valley, almost. The golf championship at Pinehurst is done match style. Mm-hmm. So, say you and I went out and golfed match style against one another. Say I shoot. It takes me. It's a par three, so three shots to get it in the hole keeps you even.
Mm-hmm.
Say you go out there and it takes you five shots to do it and only takes me four. Well, instead of keeping like a running score where you would be two over and I would just be one over,
mm-hmm.
I just win the hole. I get a point.
Okay.
So that's how they do it.
Gotcha.
So they take the 16 best golfers. They tally their scores from throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
And the club's top 16 golfers are then put into a bracket and then they play match style scoring matches in a tournament to get to the end.
Okay.
Along the way, Archie beat several kids that were notable high school golfers the last few years, some adults. Archie beat his own father.
Wow.
Finally, in the championship round, knocked off Taylor Holstrom. And Taylor was the club champion 2 years ago.
Mm.
So he knocked off two different club champs. Former club champs on his way to the championship.
Hmm.
So it's really cool. And if you win the club championship, that makes you the captain of the club's team for next year's Miller Cup.
Oh, that's going to be cool.
So Archie, 16, well, he'll be 17 next year. Mm-hmm. 17-year-old Archie Roundhorse will be the captain of the Pinehurst team at the Miller Cup.
Sounds like they might need the help because They need to win it back.
Yeah, yeah.
They've lost it, what, 2 years in a row now?
I think so, and the series is all even. Ooh. At like 17 apiece or 13 apiece, I think is
okay.
What it is.
Okay.
So,
yeah. I'm excited to fan this rivalry.
We might have to like just treat this like a state tournament next year and go up and get a golf cart and just follow these guys around. I know I covered state golf a couple years ago, mm-hmm. and the Twin Lakes golf course gave me a golf cart and like all the Bloody Marys I could drink.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm out there just with a camera and a golf cart and
having a
Bloody
a good
Mary
time.
And the sunshine. And there are worse ways to spend a couple days on the clock.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, we'll jump onto the signed rail here real quick here. Governor Little came out recently to declare that Idaho will remain in stage 4 regarding the coronavirus outbreak pandemic. Stage 4, now, stage 4, those who are familiar with the stages, stage 4 is there's no regulations, it's all recommendations. As far as I know, the only thing that I believe is totally shut down is like nightclubs. Or something like that. And even then, I think it's more recommendations than it is regulations.
I'm a big fan of this decision. I know a lot of people are really upset with it. And I will tell you exactly why. Anyone who's been following the controversy where the Idaho House passed a bill to end the emergency declaration mm-hmm. by Governor Little. And then that just didn't get cleared in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
People are really upset about that. Because, well, they're trying to keep us, you know, keep us locked up. Realistically, we're not locked up. Everything's pretty normal.
Stage 4 is,
we can't go to, like, nightclubs. There's no, like, concerts type things. But if we were to have some spike in cases,
mm-hmm.
like some horrible turnabout where we all ended up really sick, if we were to cancel these emergency restrictions,
mm-hmm.
that takes us out of the running to be eligible for federal emergency funds.
Right.
So this is a big deal for sure. these restrictions to stay in place.
Yep.
And if the worst one we have is the most, I mean, the restrictive ones were stage 1 and stage
2. Can't go to a movie theater.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, they're releasing everything at home.
Right.
Get voodoo.
Watch Mulan on Disney Plus.
Yeah,
if you
watch
really
Mulan.
Want to.
Get it.
We could do some reviews. I've like I said, I was telling you off mic, it was mixed reviews I've heard.
I think if we want to, we don't want to dive into the political unrest of the
China. No, for sure. But I'm just upset there's no Mushu.
China's political issues. I think we have our own political issues.
We do. But China's are pretty simple. Like, don't
stop killing your people.
Yeah, stop killing your own people.
Yeah,
work them to death.
There might be a few people who might think that our
labor
issues in China
labor laws are
some...
labor laws are important as we go through Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Labor laws are important. You know,
you should pay people for the
you
services.
Should pay them for their labor.
A reasonable
yes.
wage.
Yes, exactly.
Please.
And not just for the glory of the state.
Yeah.
that's more Soviet Union talk, but. But you work for glory of Soviet Union.
Yeah, right.
We've got one Russian listener who's very angry at me right now.
We will.
I don't think we do. I just
I don't think so. Mm-mm. I think we have more people in the Middle East than we do in Russia.
We do. We actually do. I
mean, that.
Shout out to our one Hong Kong listener, by the way.
Ooh, sorry if we really upset you just now.
No, we back him. We got his back.
The one that I'm
or her back, whomever.
The one in the
Palestinian territories.
Yeah, in Palestine there. Keep fighting the good fight.
Keep your head down.
Yeah, please.
Keep your head down. Yep.
If we stop seeing that, listen, we're gonna be really.
We're gonna be real worried.
Yeah.
I mean, we could say the same for Hong Kong too.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's super true.
Yeah, we have a lot of. Danger people who live on the edge who listen to this podcast. This is only for Red Bull chugging adrenaline junkies. As Josh takes a big swig of his blue colored Red Bull.
In my super awesome Yeti mug that my wife got me for my birthday.
You
know how you know you've turned 31?
You get a Yeti mug and you'll get a Yeti cooler and a Yeti chair.
Maybe a Yeti bucket. You start overpaying for things that most people they're like, oh, I got this cup.
So yeah, but this cup, if we're not sponsored by Yeti, but we definitely yet. Just ended everything for getting it.
Yeah, well.
They're not going to advertise with us now.
That's okay. Hey, that's okay.
That's all right.
I think they're doing fine.
I think they're going to do just fine without us, probably.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Screw those guys. We only had to sell one cup to make them irrelevant.
Pretty much. We sell a cooler and we've made profit for the month.
Oh, gosh. Bottom of the front, lookouts. Phil Edholm retires after four decades of service. After 42 years of service, Phil Edholm has decided to call it a career. Edholm served as the chief executive officer and president of Lookout Associates and owner of Lookout Pass Ski and Recreation Area, as well as the Route of the Hiawatha Scenic Bike Trail. He was kind of just a very dominating force in the skiing community for a long time. He was the executive of several different resorts.
He's oversaw an immense amount of growth for Lookout. I mean, it's always been, you know, it's always been Silver's number one and then Lookout's the number two. Now you could honestly make the argument that it's a one and one kind
of
thing.
Yeah, it's a 1A, 1B kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know, his expansion work has resulted in, things like the chairlift being expanded so that more people can go up there. The rails to trails conversion of the railroad into the Route of the Hiawatha, which is routinely known as what the crown jewel of rails to trails bike paths.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to one of his coworkers, Matt Sawyer. He's the marketing executive up there. Yep, and, you know, he was thankful for the opportunities that the mountain had, really, because of Phil's vision.
Yep.
A direct quote was, Phil Edholm was a man with a vision and a passion for the sport of skiing and the skiing lifestyle, as well as the skiing business. He was also a great person with a great sense of humor who took sincere interest in his employees' personal well-being. If that doesn't tell you a lot about the guy, then I don't know that anything will. Sawyer also thanked Edholm's wife. Gosh, I just closed the paper up. Now I gotta find.
Now you gotta find the quote.
You gotta find her name. Wynn. I knew it was unique. W-Y-N. Wynn. Who did a lot of financial work for Lookout behind the scenes. Okay. So, you know, I think that the Edholms are going to be. They're gonna stay active probably in the Lookout community. I wouldn't be surprised, but. Now they get to enjoy a little retirement. Now when they go up there and they see something broken or whatever, it's not their job to fix it. They can just sit back and relax. So good for them.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I agree.
What's our front page for that Friday?
That is their front page.
Hey, if you're looking for a refreshing locally made beer, check out Radio Brewing at 319 Main Street in Uptown Kellogg. The tap room is open at 50% capacity from Thursday through Monday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. and closed Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Enjoy the new horchata cream ale. Have you had this yet?
No, I have not.
Oh.
Is it good?
Oh, man.
Cream ale does not strike my fancy.
It's not.
I am a craft brew connoisseur.
It's amber. It's not creamy. It's not alarming. It's not even heavy. Mm-hmm. It's like, do you know what horchata is?
Yeah. No.
It's like Mexican, like...
Spice?
No, it's like a Mexican fancy drink. It's like rice milk and cinnamon and vanilla and like some coconut sometimes.
Even a lot of stuff that I just don't associate with beer, but okay.
It's really good.
All right, I'll give it a go.
Taste it, and it's got kind of this creamy, like, dessert taste right at first. And then it ends with the cinnamon. You can taste the cinnamon on the back end.
You're just naming so many things. There are very few alcoholic beverages that I won't at least give some time to. I don't like White Russians are a no-go. And then like Fireball is an absolute no-no.
Well, Fireball is probably an absolute no-no because you probably were absolutely irresponsible with Fireball at some point in your life.
No, this was not... I'm not saying like I'm a saint and have never overindulged once or twice before college. But
that one time.
But no, Fireball is actually I'm not a hot cinnamon guy. Like I don't do hot tamales. I don't do anything like spiced cinnamon or anything like that. It's just a no-go on my end. And it was I was tricked into thinking it was, I think it was only our second drink of the night, and I was tricked into thinking that it was whiskey. Apparently some people think Fireball is whiskey. I understand it's called Fireball whiskey, but it's just not, it just doesn't, it shouldn't count. It's not whiskey. In any case, I was duped and took the drink without first inspecting it and, immediately.
You were wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I was wrong. We'll just put it that way.
Is the tastiest. I had a couple of these the other night.
I will try it, but I'm a beer connoisseur. I mean, I used to have my own brew review trademark.
That's true, you did. Mm-hmm. This would have been one that you would have reviewed. And I would have told you it would have been my favorite beer when we did our beer review here.
We should bring that back. We'll talk to Carrie after this.
With all the new stuff, Gozas and things like that. But this one, I had a couple of these bad boys, and they got the job done.
All right.
And they're tasty. Oh my goodness. They're so tasty.
I will have to try it.
Put radio in your mouth hole.
Oh, yeah. We went way off on a tangent on that.
Nah, dude. That was a
full on, good ad read, though.
That was a full-on commercial for go get a beer at Radio Brewing.
That was some spontaneous ad chatter right there.
I like it. Was I'm not kidding, man. It was really good.
Great value on these ads right now.
We had, especially if you're like Yeti.
Oh yeah, yeah. You don't even have to buy.
Yeti didn't even pay.
Yeah.
No. We did a birthday party at Hill Street Depot, and they had it on tap down there. Mm. And my wife and I had been like wanting to try it. Mm-hmm. In our heads, we were assuming like a really almost, you know, like they have like their chocolate stout. Mm-hmm. That was in my head. I was like, I figured it was going to be that kind of consistency with like a lighter color.
Gotcha.
That was not the case.
Oh, okay.
It was. Have you had? It's out of Sandpoint. It's the Huckleberry Cream Ale. They have. Oh.
Nope.
My brother and I called.
And if it have the word cream in it, I'm not. It's not going to be my first choice.
My brother and I call those road sodas.
Okay.
No need to elaborate.
I'm not opposed to a like a darker beer. Like I'll drink a stout or something like that. But
it's not even.
It's like when they ask me at the coffee stand, like if I'll order a blended Red Bull or not a blended Red Bull, an iced Red Bull.
Depends on what place you're.
Depends on where you're getting it. That's a good point. They say, do you want cream in that? No, I don't want cream in that.
There's no cream in it.
Okay.
I think cream is just a flavor. I think when you think cream. Think vanilla.
Okay.
Hints of vanilla.
Okay. Maybe I could wrap my head around that then.
Yeah. Do that. Okay. And then go up to radio and try the horchata cream ale.
All right.
Tuesday headlines.
You got the headline with Todd Howard.
Todd Howard. Former principal Todd Howard.
Current superintendent.
Yes. I had a chance to finally give him like an introductory story. We try to give all of our.
You got a lot of these coming up down the pike. No,
we try to give all of our new school administrators and district administration like a shout out whenever they make changes, because quite frankly, it's important for people to know who it is that's kind of guiding their kids through their educational life. And Dr. Bob Rannells, former guest on the podcast, just all around great guy. Mm-hmm. He finally stepped down after. I think 12 years it was. 12 years?
That sounds right, yeah. Been here as long as I have.
Yeah, his first year was my senior year of high school.
Okay.
Stepped down this last May when school let out. And just
went back to Boise to join the good doctor?
Yes, went down to join the good doctor. They still own their home up here, but right before he retired, the school board had decided that Todd Howard, our very own Todd Howard, would be the replacement.
All right.
Todd spent the last 12 years, which crazy to think that he spent
as much time.
He was the principal at Silver Hills for the exact same amount of time that Dr. Bob was the superintendent.
Gotcha.
And now he has transitioned to that role of superintendent for the Wall School District.
Gotcha.
He's just kind of looking forward to being able to work with everybody. Mm-hmm. Not just necessarily confined to one building. Not that he was confined, but now, you know, he'll be able to work with Chris Lund and Bruce Bailey up at the high school, as well as, you know, Brooke Miller down at Silver Hills, his replacement.
The next news story you've got.
We'll be talking about her in a few days. And yeah, he's just really excited. He also spent a decade prior to that at Kellogg High School, where he was a science teacher and a coach.
Okay. So he's all over the place.
Yeah, very well, very well liked throughout the community. Excited to be a part of the community. We know that being the superintendent requires you to, you got to go out and sell the communities on your bonds, your levies, your school activities, your school decisions, all of that. You've got to be that face. So now he is the district's representative to the community. So I think he's going to do a really good job. He's really excited to do it. It wasn't really something he ever planned on doing. He didn't really even think about moving higher up in administrative work until it was like halfway through his tenure as the principal. Mm. He kind of had thought that he was going to just spend his time as the principal of an elementary school and happily ride off into the sunset. So good for him. Let's hope he can give us another 12 years.
There you go. There you go. Sounds like he's happy in the job.
Yeah, yeah, he seems to be pretty happy.
And I think he's. It's not like there's a lot of settle-in period.
You take over in that job anytime, it's going to be a lot. But you take over that job.
He's pretty familiar with the groundwork of the area.
Yeah, you take over that job right now, though, during the weirdest...
Oh, yeah, definitely a strange time to pick it up.
During the weirdest time you could possibly become a school administrator.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think it all need it. What is it? Is it all uphill from here or all downhill?
It's all
uphill is better, but downhill is easier.
It's all uphill from here. So like, that's weird that you say that. Cause when you say it's all uphill from here, that sounds like positive, but going uphill is harder.
Yeah.
It's all downhill from here.
It's going to be easier. Yeah. I don't know that he's ever going to have a problem difficult than COVID.
No, I don't think that's will be probably
the once toughest he gets, nut he ever cracked.
Trial by fire.
Yes.
Trial by fire.
So
get the hard stuff out of the
Congratulations, way. Congratulations, Todd.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Center of the piece, center of the paper, we've got Windstorm.
Oof.
Dealt with, it's a pretty significant windstorm on Labor Day. Because of that, throughout the region, it was reported by the Coeur d'Alene Press. They put the numbers together. Based on Avista, Kootenai Electric, and I believe one other electricity provider, I can't remember, but roughly 50,000 households without power because of the windstorm that we had on Monday. Here in the valley, numbers significantly lower, but mostly it was relegated to folks in the Pritchard and Pinehurst area. I can actually give you guys an update on that now while I talk about it. Avista outage map. There we go. So as I wrote the story, there was about roughly a little over 300 households without power, mostly relegated to the Pine Creek, Pinehurst, and Pritchard areas. All of those were due to power lines being knocked down. So at the time, Avista was really struggling to get out to these places. They had cut power to them, so like, you know, there wasn't like random just jetting power lines everywhere. But so I look at this map now, it looks like the Pritchard problem has been wrapped up, but the Pine Creek and Pinehurst situation is still needing to be worked on. Reason under investigation, estimated restoration today at 6. Oh, that's good. There we go. So by the time you're listening to this, the power should have been restored.
Hopefully.
When I wrote the story, they didn't have a timeline, and they said it could be days before they get somebody out there because they were just responding to stuff all over the area, not to mention they were taking Avista crews were taking appropriate precautions because they didn't want to start wildfires when you reactivate lines.
Right.
So they were taking their precautions. Here in the valley, it's generally not a windy place because of the geography here. We've got a lot of mountains that hinder some wind.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, you get a good gust that goes east to west and will use the valley as like a funnel, or a wind tunnel rather. But generally speaking, if it doesn't perfectly come down that line, usually we've got trees and mountains to really slow down wind. That wasn't the case. Mostly the west end of the valley was affected by this. Not a lot of reports of damage or anything on the east end. They had high winds, but nothing significant enough to cause any damage. Thankfully, no significant damage was reported, just downed trees over roads, power lines, that kind of thing. Nothing falling on a house or a car, and no injuries reported either. So that's good.
That's fortunate.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, it sounds like there were no injuries across the whole area. So, we did have some minor power outages near Canyon, Rose Lake, Cataldo as well. But nothing, no major ones.
It was weird being in Kellogg last night or yesterday when this was all going on and everyone complained about their power being out and just sitting there in my warm house with all of my devices
on. It was mostly Pine Creek.
Feeling kind of guilty about all the people without power while I was, you know,
comfortable. There's only one power line that goes up Pine Creek. So if it gets cut, everyone who's up there loses power.
Gotcha.
And that's exactly what happened. There was a power line. You remember that story that I wrote about the Pine Creek Bridge?
Yeah.
There's some very boring number. That bridge doesn't actually have a name. So it's just, it has a number of.
Gotcha.
A numerical designation. In any case, it's right after that. Right after you can pass that bridge, there's a little bend, and there's a straightaway, and that's where the lines were cut. In fact, I last checked, the lines are still down there. The lines are off. You know, you can't step on the line and get electrocuted. But as far as I know, they're still working up there. And according to Avista's map, as of right now, that whole area is still out without power.
Wow.
Affected. Let's see here. Avista estimates how many customers? 212 customers without power right now up there. So. That includes a little bit of Pinehurst as well.
Gotcha.
So, they're definitely still working on that. Thankfully, nothing serious, but it's never a good thing when we're out of power.
Right.
Especially in our neck of the woods.
Yeah.
So yeah, the only thing that I did mention on that, we just didn't have a lot of information on the time. Josh, you know, as well as I do, getting information from people on holidays can be rough. That's definitely the case in our industry. Labor Day, there was very difficult to get a hold of anybody. There was a fire, one wildfire that was kicked up near Cataldo. I believe it was called the Wall Creek, something like that. Something along those lines. I can't remember the exact name. It's already taken care of. Right. Chris Meyer with IDL got a hold of me this morning and said that it's already knocked down. They'll just be mopping up. Got about 2 acres. Wind was the factor in this.
I was gonna say the wind.
Really? It wasn't a factor. It was the factor. Like if the wind wasn't going, it probably would have been less than an acre.
It was like the wind.
Started out as a small brush fire on the side of the road. But this the wind kicked it up and made it a little bigger than it should have been. But they were able to knock it down. Took care of it. Thankfully, because it seemed like everybody else in North Idaho was not as lucky with their wildfires, and we're dealing, I mean, east, west, north, we're surrounded by wildfires at the moment. Thankfully, knock on wood, we're not dealing with that at the moment.
Right.
But yeah, thankfully that went well, and wind is weird around here. We don't get it very often, but when we do,
it always seems to be opportunistically attached to something else.
Yeah, there you go.
So, absolutely. Side Rail, huh?
Side Rail.
Concert Association?
Yes.
Yes. So, unfortunately, COVID, the pandemic, has kind of claimed another victim.
Mm-hmm.
The Shoshone County Community Concert Association, the SCCCA, has announced that they are postponing their 2020-2021 concert series due to the uncertainty around the COVID-19 pandemic.
Boy, that's a shame.
Yeah, with all of the stuff going on, it's irresponsible. They felt it was irresponsible for them to try to put on concerts, potentially getting members' hopes up, as well as, you know, getting the hopes up of the performers who are all struggling right now. There is I don't know if you guys have seen, but there is an active movement across social media for people trying to, like struggling artists, starving artists kind of thing, where they're saying, you know, we need to get back to work because this is what we did for work. And so they didn't think it was fair for them to, you know, string along these artists who there's possibilities that in other places they can book gigs. So they decided to postpone it. That's the hot term right now, postponing. No one's canceling anything. We're just moving everything a year back. They are, if you paid already, if you paid for your concert association membership or for any tickets for any specific shows, you need to just reach out to the concert association themselves and they will work with you to square things up.
Okay.
In the interim, the association is moving forward with getting their next season scheduled. So they should have another full lineup. This is the first time that they've ever had to cancel or postpone concerts, and this organization has been around since 1941.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's got some legs to it.
Wow.
It's kind of next year will be its 80th year.
Wow. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Not great that they had to cancel it, but awesome that they've been in existence that long. So hopefully they can, you know, have a big, big welcome back 80th birthday party.
Gotcha. Very cool. All right. And then rounding out the bottom of the page, we actually got a story from the Coeur d'Alene Press here. This is really a regional type story. A Map to Success was the headline. This is from Kay. I always mess up her last name. Thornburg? Thornburgh? Thornbro? Brew?
Perhaps. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Kay, I apologize for mispronouncing your last name. So this goes, this Kay actually talked to the Idaho Association for the Education of Young Children as part of their mission to improve the programs and help families improve school readiness at home. Idaho AEYC is offering the opportunity to learn from early childhood professionals in three free webinar sessions this fall called the Early Learning Academies. The webinars are available across Idaho to any person working with children under the age of 5, including parents and grandparents. Quote, "We can provide opportunities to help support parents as they're finding themselves at home more than they've ever been." That was from, what is her actual title? What's her? Oppenheimer. I see her name, but where's her title? Beth Oppenheimer, Executive Director of the Idaho Association for the Education of Young Children. So the final, let's see here. Each two-hour session tackles a different subject. The first webinar, scheduled for September 26th, will familiarize participants with strategies for developmental monitoring and screening. Quote, if child care providers are working with young children, it gives them the opportunity to learn the signs of a child who has a developmental delay, Oppenheimer said. The October 10th session will explore the impact of trauma on human development, as well as to how to improve positive outcomes for children who have experienced trauma. The final session, scheduled for October 24th, is focused on literacy. So yeah, this is a really cool story. I would check this out. It's online. I'm not going to go into it like I wrote it because I didn't. But definitely a good thing for all Idaho kids across the area. And yeah, especially with our weird schools going on right now, a little extra can't hurt. A little extra head start can't hurt.
I think any little bit helps. And this is a really cool program, so
I agree,
worth getting involved and excited about. And that about wraps up our Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday there. September 8th.
Yes,
that's correct. We haven't gotten our tear sheets, so we going all of this by memory,
forgive us. Hey, whether you're trying to keep the summer fun going or preparing for the first snow, right now is a great time to visit Silver Eye Tire for all your tire needs. Visit them now for more information about the late summer Cooper Tire rebate and get up to $100 off a set of 4 select Cooper tires. Silver Eye Tire is located at 407 West Cameron Avenue in Kellogg, Idaho.
Perfect. Love Silver Eye Tire.
Yeah.
All right. No interview this week, but we're gonna do something a little new here. This is our first run at it, so forgive us if you...
We literally just came up with it
not long before recording today, but we're going to go with it. Working title still, but this is going to be... What did we say? What's our working title at the moment?
We want it to be like a retread of the...
Yeah, you can say that, people.
The retread of the What's Happening.
So anybody who's familiar with the paper for the last, 20 years...
So I would say this ended probably about the same time Carrie took over the paper, just because the change in management meant the
person. But before that, it had gone on for a very long time.
At no fault of Carrie's, the publisher was just a more editorial-based publisher than an advertising one.
So Watts Appliances sponsored this
I think it was once a week on the back page of the paper.
Uh-huh.
There was what was called What's Happening.
Okay.
And it was basically...
Like a flashback.
The former publisher, Dan Drury, would go back and he would find significant stories that had happened on this specific date through the years as the archives go.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, as most of you guys know, we don't really have the archives in full due to...
Well, let's explain that, because I don't think... So, for those who are unfamiliar, the original News Press building in Kellogg burned down in what, 2008?
2010.
Something around there.
Yeah.
Before us, for sure. Right. We've always been in this building here in Osborne. But it burned down, and along with it, most of our archives were either destroyed or in such bad shape that even touching them they fall apart.
We do have a select set of them over in Coeur d'Alene that we've never been able to necessarily go over and get access to.
Not that even if we got over there, we'd be able to touch it. So right. It literally falls apart. So, right.
So we have from... late 2008 or late 2006 up until now.
Let me take a look at that.
Digitized?
2006, yep.
Not all of 2006, but late 2006.
Yeah, so we have some of those years digitized, but the rest we're planning on, if we can get this, get some legs going, we'll do this flashback thing. We'll go to, shout out to the Wallace Public Library. For those who don't know...
They have microfilms of all of our editions.
Every single one going back to 1800s.
Yeah, whether it be Shoshone News Press, Kellogg Evening News, Wallace Press Times.
And there was that other one that I keep forgetting.
The North Idaho.
It was Idaho.
It was like
the Idaho News or something like that?
North Idaho Press or something like
something
that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. They had it all, so...
So we'll the plan is we'll go in there and find, maybe we'll dive deep into a cool headline from back then, and maybe we can get your guys' nostalgia meter going.
Right, and so instead of doing it the way that they do it, where they take one date and go back through many years, what we're gonna do is we're gonna try to pick a date and then find an edition of one of our former papers that had just some interesting headlines.
We're just going to take you through the headlines.
Since we're doing it today, we're not going to go very far back today. We're just going to go back to 2017.
Just testing the water. Just putting our toe in a little bit.
September 9th.
September 9th, 2017.
It was a Saturday.
And
this was around the time that we had just started printing twice a week.
Yeah, just around the time.
So,
around that time.
Yeah.
So what was our headline that day, Josh?
Headline, Off-Road Trail to Temporarily Close Next Week. And as this...
You wrote this one.
Yeah, I wrote this. And it's funny because this has been one of those lead-off stories that we had no idea just what the ramifications were going to be. The trail, the little trail that ran next to the slag pile between I-90 and the slag pile, mm-hmm. was closed as crews began to put in the new groundwater collection system. Unofficially, the system and the construction that caused the dips in the highway, or that after they started working on it, the dips mysteriously...
Allegedly.
Yeah, because neither side is willing to
admit
any fault in that one.
I feel like Squirrely Dan on that one.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yes, allegedly.
Lots of alleged on
allegedly.
That.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
An ostrich. But, so they closed the trail to begin working on that. In mid-September of 2017.
And if you want to get somebody angry around here, there's a few triggers around here, and one of those is shutting down a trail.
Shutting down a trail, pulling the billboards out.
No. Oof.
Oh, people were just so salty about that. Some Karens.
Bring back our illegal billboards, yes. Josh.
Yeah, they weren't even legally supposed to be there.
No, they were not supposed to be there, but...
Oh, man. So, moving down, center of the page... by the way, that groundwater collection system has since been almost 100% completed, along with the upgrades to the central treatment plant.
Say, this is a good opportunity. I'm starting to like this, that we just kind of, we're flowing into this, but this is a good way we can even give updates on these stories.
Yeah, we've covered that central treatment plant and the groundwater collection system to death over the last few years.
And we still are.
We still keep an eye on it.
We got a new, not the treatment facility, but there's some new developments with the, with EPA work coming up here soon. You'll have a story on that here in not too long.
Yes.
Yep.
Center of the page, New Start, or the headline is New Start, New Hope, New School. The photo is Kellogg School Board Vice Chairman Bonnie Farman, along with Chairman Art Krulitz, or former chairman, because now Bonnie is the chairman, mm-hmm. as well as former superintendent Woody Woodford.
Oh, Woody.
And they were doing a ribbon cutting ceremony inside the now Kellogg Middle School gym. Uh-huh. This was an assembly to kick off the conversion of Kellogg Middle School, going from Sunnyside Elementary to Kellogg Middle School.
Boy, that seemed like, God, that seems like forever ago. I feel like we're going to say that a lot during
And it was funny because Sunnyside had been open as an elementary school. Then it closed due to the damage from that hail and windstorm and all that. Uh-huh. All the elementary kids went to Pinehurst. And then over the next year, it was determined that because of the damage and irreparable issues with the former middle school, now administrative annex buildings, plumbing, students could not coexist there or could not exist there. And it was determined that they would be moved over to Sunnyside. And in 2017, on September 9th, or I guess it would have been September 8th, technically, there was a ribbon cutting ceremony to christen the building as the new Kellogg Middle School.
Very cool. Good timing on this too. This side rail story actually semi relevant because we had to write about this guy again.
Yeah, headline on the side rail. This story by me. Autopsy clears rickets of manslaughter.
So for those unfamiliar, I did write the most recent story regarding
Ryan Ricketts.
Ryan was involved in the not standoff up Knuckles Gulch here recently.
It was a weird disagreement between Ricketts and law enforcement
and his neighbor over fireworks.
That
ended up running into the woods for a little bit, came back, got arrested along with his female companion as well. So, yes.
Back in I believe it was
2017.
Well, I believe the
The story itself though.
Yes.
July 9th, 2017.
Okay. I don't know about that.
Are you sure?
Hold on, let's wait here. Okay, yeah. In July 26th
Fight on July 9th in Kellogg between Crawford Ricketts and Heather Therian.
Yeah, yeah.
Heather was the other person that was arrested in that, yeah.
The situation, Jared Crawford, deceased now, was in a argument that resulted in a fight between himself and Ryan Ricketts. They were both employees of Silver Mountain at the time. Mm-hmm. Crawford then went to a hotel, a nearby hotel, where he succumbed to existing medical issues that may or may not have been exacerbated by the fight.
The autopsy revealed that he did not die, though, based on the injuries sustained.
The fight was not what caused him to die. Correct. It was, I think it was his liver, if my memory serves me right. I'm trying to find here. But at the time, Ryan Ricketts was potentially...
He had a previous condition the fight.
Ryan Ricketts was looking at potentially manslaughter charges.
Yes, he was.
Due to the fact that this fight had happened and then... Hours later, Mr. Crawford passed away.
Yep.
The autopsy cleared him of that. Obviously, from what we know, Mr. Ricketts did not necessarily keep distance from law enforcement.
Right.
He continued to have
Pop back up in the news.
Yes.
So. All right. Jumping down to the bottom of the page here.
Ooh, yes.
Yep, there we go. This was the heat of the height of the strike. I think it was the first year of the strike.
The strike had been
going on for 6 months.
It ended earlier this year, right?
Yeah. So it started in March of that year, I believe.
Yes.
So that would have been, it would have been roughly 4 or 5 months in.
Mm-hmm.
Headline, no foul play suspected in Sunny Slope structure fire. Following two separate investigations by local law enforcement, local officials, and an independent consulting company, the house fire that occurred in Sunny Slopes area of Osborne on August 16th has been officially declared an accident.
Mm-hmm.
So, for those who are unfamiliar, this was the home of a former union member that was with the Lucky Friday during the strike at the time. This individual was involved in alleged altercation with a higher up in the union itself, which led to
a former higher up in the
former higher up. Yes, exactly. No longer with the union. And then not too long after this, the individual's home caught on fire. The circumstances surrounding the situation led many to speculate that the home was caught on fire. But after several different investigations by both local and out of town officials, there was no evidence to suggest that the home was, there was arson involved. It sounded like there was an accident, fire. If memory serves, there was,
it was a barbecue involved.
The homeowners were smoking the night before.
Smoking
meat. An accumulation of grease on their back patio seeped through and eventually just sparked up enough to the point where it started a grease fire under the patio, which spread to the patio, which spread to the rest of the house.
Two dogs died.
What's that?
A couple dogs.
A couple dogs died in the fire.
No human life lost though.
Yes. What was interesting, I did like writing about this because it was a few times I got to use this acronym BLEAVE. I love. It's a firefighting term. The type of explosion that happened is what firefighters refer to as BLEAVE, boiling liquid expanding vapor explosion.
Good
propane
Lord.
Tank that was connected to a grill smoker combination unit that was sitting on the top of a ground level wooden deck. Underneath the deck were other combustibles, including old pallet wood. It was a smaller fire that caused an accumulation of grease under the deck, catching fire. The smaller grease fire then smoldered for hours until Mother Nature gave it a boost. And that's how things spread from there.
Jeez.
Yep. Still crazy. I talk to anybody this day. You'll talk to people that still believe that there was more to that.
Yeah.
But we found out later on that there was no foul play suspected.
Sure.
Or at least that could be proven.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
So that was our front page from the Saturday, September 9th, 2017 newspaper.
Yep.
A little bit of
this
everything.
This could be fun. This could be excuses to go down memory lane and maybe even give us an ideas to do follow-up stories.
Yeah, some follow-up stories. Maybe could even lead to us bringing some people in for some interviews. You never know what you're going to get.
I like that.
But yeah, no, hopefully you guys enjoyed our first little walk down memory lane there.
So, there we go. Working title, Walk Down Memory Lane.
Walk Down Memory Lane. Hey, well, that's going to bring us right into our second sports wrap-up of the season. We'll kick it off with some volleyball action. So we're going to kick things off with volleyball between the Kellogg Wildcats, who hosted the Wallace Miners.
We had some good sports last week, Josh.
We did have some good sports, and we had good local sports is really what it boiled down
to.
Yeah,
that's what it meant, you know, obviously.
We had Kellogg versus Wallace volleyball. We had Wallace versus Mullen football. So we had local matchups, which is always fun to cover.
Mm-hmm.
The Wildcats ended up hosting the Miners in their first volleyball match of the season. Kellogg had already played, lost to Post Falls the week prior. So this Wallace team came into this. They were supposed to have a match on Wednesday night, but it got canceled. Kootenai canceled due to some health concerns. I believe they thought it was COVID, but it looks like it wasn't. It was just something else. They didn't have enough people. The Wildcats kind of struggled from the outset here. Wallace came out firing, looking to steal a set early. Wildcats rebounded and ended up winning the first set 26-24. They did go on to sweep the match, winning the next two sets 25-10 and 25-22. The Kellogg's junior duo of Haley Cheney and Grace Nearing really kind of set the tone. They've just been special, spectacular players for these teams, this Kellogg program, since they were freshmen. Now in their junior year, 3 years of experience, they're only getting better, and they've only gotten that much better. Coach Steph Bruner, kind of a lukewarm take on the game. Direct quote, "I feel like we came out pretty flat and error-ridden," Bruner said. "We had some moments of good play, though. I feel like we worked on our system plays, and for the most part, we did a good job. It's our first home match, and I'm happy that we came out with the win." Bruner also complimented Wallace and Coach Katie Bauer for them capitalizing off of a lot of mistakes that Kellogg did, which kept Wallace competitive in their opening match. So, big win for the Wildcats there. Wallace looked pretty good, though. I expect some good things from them. Moving over to football, Wallace football took on Mullen St. Regis, the cooperative there, and unfortunately Wallace wasn't able to get the win, but they were a little bit more competitive than they had been in years past. Final score 64-22. Mullen jumped onto the Wallace team fast and hard. It was 35-0 early in the second quarter. Kind of a tough break there for the Miners, but they rebounded. They rebounded, and they ended up putting a few scores up on the board. Sophomore quarterback from Mullen, Caleb Ball, threw for two touchdowns and ran for two. Senior, let's see here, where am I? Senior running back Alex Field for the Miners, he ran for 200 yards on 21 carries and two touchdowns of his own. So a little bit of life there. Both teams should be competing for a spot in the playoffs, even with Wallace's tough 0-2 start and Mullen going 2-0. Both teams should be competing for playoff spots in their respective divisions. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Mullen Volleyball. Last week, Mullen Volleyball took on North Idaho Christian in Coeur d'Alene. Took the Royals to 5 sets, but weren't able to pull it out in that 5th set. Didn't have any statistics or anything like that for that game, but the scores were 25-16, 25-23, 23-25, 17-25, and 15-10. So very competitive back and forth match there. Wallace Volleyball hosted a tri-match on Saturday, kind of the rarely seen tri-match. I actually didn't even see this on their schedule, otherwise I would have gone to it. But at the tri-match, they defeated Kootenai, and then they defeated Deary. So didn't get any stats on that, but anytime you can sweep 2 matches in a row on the same day, that's a big deal. So for the Miners, they after that loss to Kellogg, they were able to get their season back on track, and now they're sitting at 2-1. Other sports, I think that was it. Kellogg football was on a bye. This week's going to be a lot busier. We also had a chance to, with Kellogg football being on a bye, we had a chance to talk to Coach Dan Davidian and ask him a few questions. Coach Davidian, he's the principal at Kellogg Middle School. We met him, got introduced to him last year, but we learned about Dan Davidian, the principal, not necessarily Dan Davidian, the football coach. So we had a chance to ask him a few questions. I suggest, I think I'm gonna let you guys read that one, though. I'm not going to give you guys all the surprises. You guys need to go check that one out. We did a Q&A format, kind of cool how we did it. I know if you're a Seahawks fan, you're going to like his answer as far as who his coaching inspirations are. So go check out that little Q&A with Coach Davidian.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's sports for the week. We've got a full slate of football games, volleyball games, some cross country, and I even think some swimming. So it's going to be a busy week for me.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, hey, we've all had those hectic mornings where you wake up late, you can't find your car keys, and finally make it out the door, only to realize that you forgot your breakfast. I know I've had those, Chance. Have you ever had one of those?
Oh, today, this morning.
Well, don't worry. Your locally owned and operated Kellogg McDonald's is here to help. With drive-through service and mobile order and pay with curbside service to pick up, you can still enjoy an Egg McMuffin and a McCafe on your way to work.
Awesome. Do you need to run by there?
Oh, I'm starving. I'm so hungry.
Sounds about right.
And, I mean, we got here thinking we were going to be doing this a lot earlier than we ended up doing. Oh, that's going to take us right into regionals. What you got for regionals, man?
Let me pop into my regionals. You sent them to me, so I should probably just pull them up.
I think one of them's fire-related. I try to give you all the firefighter stories.
Coeur d'Alene Press, boom. So I'm going to assume that this one's out of the Coeur d'Alene Press. Yes, Blanchard Fire forces evacuations. We actually just put a little brief thing from IDL on this, but Blanchard Fire forces evacuations from Carolyn Lobsinger. So this is actually out of Sandpoint.
Yeah.
Just shared by them, Bonner Daily Bee. Area residents were evacuated from their homes after a Labor Day wildfire quickly grew to more than 100 acres and jumped Highway 41. The Hunter 2 fire, located about a half mile northeast of Blanchard at the junction of Hunter Road and Highway 41, was reported early Monday afternoon. As of 6:15 p.m., so yesterday, 6:15 p.m., fire was estimated to be well over 500 acres with multiple resources on scene, including a number of pieces of heavy equipment. Idaho Department of Lands posted on its fire information page on Facebook. Additional resources have been ordered, including a Type 3 incident management team to fight the fire. Those are pretty serious guys.
Yeah.
IDL said air resources were grounded until after high winds died down, but by 6:15 p.m., air tankers were helping fight the blaze.
Wow.
Yeah, it's 500 acres. I mean, we've been very lucky to, you know, so far 2 acres has been big.
Yeah.
2 acres has been pretty much our biggest wildfire. So 500 is, that's
substantial.
That's pretty big. So yeah, might be honestly our biggest wildfire that we have. I don't remember what the Spirit Lake fire was. I think it was like into the 200s. So
yeah.
So 500's a lot, and I'm sure the winds did not help that at all.
No, I can't imagine they were very helpful.
No,
or,
definitely.
Or, depending on your outlook, very helpful.
Right. Right.
This regional headline coming out of the Coeur d'Alene Press: trial date set for woman accused of killing newborn. The only reason we kind of kept an eye on this because this happened at the same time.
Yeah.
As that
very confusing night.
We had
a
gentleman who had local ties to the valley in a car chase with ISP, where he actually hit an ISP trooper's car, and I think he injured the trooper.
Mm-hmm.
Before. And this was a car that he had stolen at gunpoint.
Yep.
So crazy story here. So,
but early on, it was believed that the two incidents were linked, and they're not linked.
So this story by Kay Thornbrough.
We'll just go Thornbrough with that. Again, apologies to Kay if we mispronounce your name.
Rathroom woman accused of killing her newborn baby will face jury trial on March 15th, 2021. Elizabeth Keys, 22, is being held in Kootenai County Jail on charges of first-degree murder and concealment of evidence. She pleaded not guilty to both charges. The pretrial conference will take place on March 10th, 2021. Keys is accused of killing her infant son and leaving the newborn in a plastic bag on the front porch of the Rathroom home, where she slept on a couch in the garage. Keys told police she did not know she was pregnant before she gave birth April 14th in a bathroom at the home where she was staying. Police also said evidence showed the child was born alive. Keys is accused of strangling the child and using a box cutter to slit open the infant's stomach before placing the body and other debris in a plastic bag.
What a crazy person.
Yeah, sounds like a terrible human being.
Yeah.
A household member who reportedly believed Keys had experienced a miscarriage brought Keys and the infant to Kootenai Health. According to the police report, it was there the medical staff discovered the incision in the child's body. Keys is facing the most serious charge the state has at its disposal. She not only faces, this is a quote from defense attorney Jay Logsdon, she faces not only life imprisonment, but her execution.
Oh, he's going to go for the jugular on this one.
This is a defense attorney, so this is her lawyer.
Oh?
Yeah.
Well, doesn't sound like she's going
to... It doesn't sound like she's got the support of her...
No.
I can't say that I blame her. I wouldn't want to be a public defender in this one.
No. Well, I don't know if I'd want to be a public defender in general, but... it just seems like a very exhausting job.
Yeah, this person... It sounds like even if she doesn't get life in prison or an execution, maybe she should just spend her time locked away. Not a decent human being.
Sounds about right. All right, jumping over. Oh,
hold up.
What?
You're trying to skip ads, bro.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Hey, I actually should make you read this one. This is yours. This is your lamp. You just bought furniture here.
I did just buy furniture.
Come on, man.
Well, I got to pull up the script now. I didn't have it open.
Oh, man. We're going to wait for it.
Script.
Everyone here is waiting anxiously.
Docs. Boom.
We're excited.
Internet's actually moving pretty quick today.
I know.
I'm pretty happy about it.
Kind of blown away.
All right. If you're looking for fine furnishings, flooring, and appliances for your home, please visit Twin City Furniture. Owner Mike Pierce has been serving the Silver Valley for decades. At Twin City Furniture, you'll always find quality furniture at an affordable price and friendly, reliable service. Stop in and see Mike at 110 McKinley Avenue in Uptown Kellogg.
You can also get quality lamps.
You do get quality lamps. You can win them at auctions.
Yes, he's always donating to the community events.
Absolutely. This is a good guy. I actually did purchase a new couch and my first man chair from Mike. Very, very workable on price. Delivered them. Got them up to my place. I couldn't be happier. In fact, I might go back there and try to buy a new desk.
So. My parents just got a couch from there too.
So. That's good stuff.
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
Solid.
This chair that I got, it's not a lazy boy. It's smaller than a lazy boy, but it fits everyone perfectly. I don't know how to explain it. It's like a mini lazy boy, but it fits. It's perfect.
Good.
It's perfect.
Good chair.
I guess it wouldn't fit you, but.
Fair enough. I'm like, well, in real life, I'm very big.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't fit you, but fair enough.
So what do you got for your second regional?
Yes, my second regional. Well, now I got to go back to it now because I just went to the script. Can't open two things at once.
Fair.
All right. Coming out of the Bonner County Daily Bee. Oh, my other one was out of the Daily Bee too. But Lake Ponderay sets new catch and release record for bull trout. If I'm not mistaken, bull trout are only catch and release.
I believe so.
So you can't, if I'm not, now, when I was a kid, granted, I haven't really done extensive fishing like I used to, but as far as I know, bull trout are always catch and release. Congratulations to Ed O'Hara of Hayden on landing the latest catch and release state record bull trout. O'Hara landed the 31-inch native char while fishing Lake Pend Oreille over the weekend on August 29th. After a quick measurement and photograph, the record fish was released to claim a new catch and release state record for the species.
Damn.
Lake Pend Oreille, long known for producing trophy trout, has produced many record fish, including the, quote, certified weight record bull trout of 32 pounds, caught in 1949. While harvesting bull trout is not allowed in Idaho, they are still eligible for catch and release records and are exciting sport fish for many anglers. Bull trout are found in lakes and reservoirs, but most anglers catch them in the rivers and streams. You can learn more about their distribution and fishing for them in this article, Casting for the Bulls. You can click on that here on the Bonner Daily Bee. Similar to salmon, bull trout are also very highly migratory species, often making long migrations between lakes and rivers to complete their life cycle. There's also got some other stories around here for if you're interested in the species.
Sweet.
Yes, very cool.
This story coming out of the Daily Interlake, one of our properties in Montana, up in like the Kalispell area.
Okay.
Headline, man dies in fire he is suspected of starting in Pablo.
Terrible. So he started it.
Yeah.
And he finished it.
This is no byline here, but okay. A Pablo man died in an arson fire he is suspected to have started Sunday at the People's Center in Pablo. According to Lake County Sheriff's Office, the body of Julian Michael Draper, 33, was recovered from inside the museum and education center that is owned and operated by the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes. The initial report of the fire came in at 8 p.m. Fire crews were battling the blaze when they discovered Draper's body in a back office. According to the sheriff's office, Draper had barricaded the doors, which made fighting the fire challenging. The People's Center was severely damaged, the sheriff's office stated. We are devastated at the destruction of arson on our beautiful museum, gift shop, and cultural center, the People's Center posted on social media Monday. We will update everyone when we can. Thank you for your messages and support. Significant loss. Draper's body was sent to the state crime lab. Draper was also suspected of setting fire in a wooded area near the old Plum Creek Mill in Pablo last month. He was arrested and charged with arson in that incident as well.
All right.
So a serial arsonist.
A serial arsonist.
Kills himself inadvertently, maybe, if he barricaded the door shut in a building that he walked or that he set on fire.
Huh.
I mean, world's worst arsonist.
Right. I mean, it depends on how many arsons he was responsible for, because, I mean, usually when you get, you know, two or three under a belt, you would say that he's on fire.
Oh, dear.
There it is!
Yeah.
There it is.
That was dark and funny. Oh, jeez.
It was totally worth it.
Totally worth it.
I was
you just saved it for the end.
I was teeing it up for you.
Saved it for the end.
I don't think I could have teed it up for you any better.
That was dark.
Perfect. Hopefully, all right.
I'm assuming that property had insurance.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't want to ever laugh at priceless artifacts being lost.
No.
But you will celebrate the fact that if this building was insured, which I'm sure it's going to come back even better and probably be a more valuable center for these people.
Yep.
So exciting news for the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribe.
There you go.
You're probably going to get yourself a sparkling new center.
There you go. Is that it?
Gosh, I think that's it.
We're not done yet, though, for today. We're going to, as soon as we're done with this episode, we get to bring Monica in here.
Yeah.
I know we said last week we were going to put together a bonus episode for the top five, or the best of, rather. And schedules didn't work out, but we're going to make sure that we get it out this week. So stay tuned. Actually, you don't have to really do anything. We'll put that episode up and you can listen to it as a bonus episode.
Right.
Little extra right there.
Extra.
And we'll have Monica be coming in to assist with us on that.
Yeah. Hey, well, once again, we'd like to thank Julie Zook for this week's episode. It's a great time to sell your house because inventory is low, and Julie Zook with Silver Legacy Realty is a lifelong resident of the Silver Valley. She's a local realtor who's well-connected and knows every nook and cranny of our Silver Valley. Contact Julie at 208-659-1764. She's your best friend in real estate.
All right. There we go. That it? Got everything else?
I think that's it.
All right. We do have a lot of... We already hinted at a lot of stories that we're working on coming up, so...
Yeah.
Yep. All right, perfect. Everybody, thanks for listening in. We really appreciate it. Please like, comment, and share all of our stuff on social media. We're trying to get a little better on Instagram.
Trying.
When we remember, we do it. you can find all of our stories that we talked about at ShoshoneNewsPress.com and all the other sister papers that we have when we talked about the regionals. Other than that, please leave us a nice review on whatever platform that you're listening in on. Shout out to our Player FM listeners. That counts for a lot of our listeners.
Still going strong.
Still going strong. But anybody who's listening in, you're definitely not any less. If you're not listening on Player FM, we appreciate everybody who's listening in from Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere that you pick up your podcast, we appreciate it. It's always helpful, and even a nice review is also really appreciated. It helps us get seen and get the word out there. So if you want to get a hold of us, you can give our office a call at 208-752-1120. You can message us on Facebook or send us emails. We are always open for suggestions and whatnot. Let us know if you like our flashback stuff. That's kind of a new thing that we're going forward with. We just don't want to, we don't want to force, especially with COVID stuff, we don't want to force interviews.
Yeah.
So,
and we've pretty much interviewed everyone.
We're running out of people to interview. for going 40 in a row, with an interview every episode, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
There's not even 40 people. I'm just kidding. There is 40 people here, but.
Ooh, you're going to make enemies that way.
Oh, I know. That's just a joke. Kidding.
Super funny, Chance.
I know. Thanks, Josh.
So brash.
I am pretty brash. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening in again, and we will see you next week. Be sure to check out our special bonus episode coming up that we're going to record right after this with Monica about the best of.
Bye-bye.